listening to the Norfolk Chambers of Commerce podcast. We're connecting voices right across Norfolk.
Izzy, thank you so much for coming to our Cole office today to talk to me.
It's lovely to see you.
Brilliant. So Izzy, you are High Skills Coordinator for East Norfolk Sixth Form College.
I am indeed.
That's a massive job for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's full on, but it's really rewarding and I really enjoy it. I've been at the college for over 2 years now, but my high school's role has only been the last few months, so quite new to it really, but I was kind of doing some of the stuff anyway.
And you were a student at the college as well, so that's nice. So you didn't have that first day nerves.
No.
Because you knew everything. I had the best toilets, I know
exactly.
Where to go and
food. Yeah, I mean, well, we've actually had a lot of investment put into the college as part of our T-level funding, so it has actually changed quite significantly. I kind of know where the most important parts are.
But you are you're a member of our BCL cohort. Thank you so much. It was great to have you at our last meeting. And you're really pushing your school's green journey, and I guess we're really here today to talk about the Eco Schools,
yeah,
which is such an exciting project. Actually, before we talk about that, can we just talk about the East Norfolk Sixth Form? You're just bringing in T-levels, which we were talking about earlier, but also there's a lot on your website about case studies and working with the business community, which is who we're hoping are going to listen to this podcast today. And there's some amazing case studies. There's one from a young student called Shana who went to Vattenfall,
yeah,
which I just love. And one of the nicest things she said was, the contact doesn't end at the end of the placement, it carries on, and they're always getting in touch with her and offering her opportunities.
Yeah,
which I just think is so amazing.
Yeah, no, it is. It's amazing. We actually we have a dedicated futures team at the college, and their role is to sort out work placements, work experience for students, so they can literally approach them any time of the day and say, I want to do some work experience in this, and the futures team will facilitate that for them. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, the connections with the employers are really, really strong in the local area, particularly with companies like Vattenfall, as the renewable energy sector is so good in the area.
Yeah,
and it's massive. So there's so much potential for us to get involved with the local businesses, and we are really keen to do that. And yeah, as you said, it doesn't just end at the end of their work placement. Quite often we'll have students then finish their course and then be offered a permanent position or an apprenticeship with an employer that they've had work experience with.
That highlights the importance of having a great school, having lots of contact with the business community. It's from accounting, agriculture, through to land management, broadcast and production and media. There are so many.
Yeah.
And T-levels are quite a new thing, aren't they?
Yeah, so they're a relatively new qualification. We introduced two last September, and we're actually the first provider east of Norwich to offer the qualification. And they were a little bit kind of, the uptake wasn't great at the start, because I think everyone's a bit apprehensive with a new qualification. And we struggled to get placements for our students, because again, I think the businesses were a bit like,
yeah,
we're not really sure what this is. I think off the back of COVID and lockdown as well, you know, a lot of businesses had to lay off their own staff, let alone take someone else on, didn't have the capacity, so it was a bit challenging. But we've introduced more this September, and we've got even more coming next September, and the uptake for those in our applications is already really, really strong. I think they're really being recognised, and the importance of work experience and going out and doing a placement as part of your course is really crucial.
It's just raising awareness, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they're the same as a T-level is the same as doing 3 A-levels, and
yeah,
it's a 2-year course.
Yeah, it is. So it's the equivalent of doing 3 A-levels, but it's just 80% in the classroom and 20% work placement that makes
up. I love that you get 3 months of real placements.
Yeah.
I think that's so important.
Yeah.
Because you can get kind of isolated doing A-levels.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a shock then when you go into the real, well, maybe you go to university or you go into work, having never experienced that. So.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I think when employers are looking for people to take on, they really value the importance of work experience as well. And actually, it's becoming just as important, if not more important, than qualifications behind you. So, you know, having the great combination of both is really, really good, yeah, I think.
And I guess potentially it could lead to a position within that company.
Absolutely.
Or if not, at least you think, well, I don't think I do want to do that now, but at least I know now.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it'll either make you think, yeah, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, brilliant, or it'll make you think, I absolutely hate this, in which which I don't think anyone thinks that, because I think any work experience is really valuable anyway, and it gives you such good transferable skills as well.
Yeah.
Even if you might think, maybe this isn't for me, at least it's helped you get to that point and make that decision.
Yeah.
So it's
positive. There are so many businesses, it's got to be the right fit, hasn't it? Just because that one isn't right,
yeah,
there's lots of others. And I guess,
oh, yeah, absolutely,
the more businesses that sign up, it's better for them. And there's, for the business, you can build the capacity of your business business and grow the skills they need. You're upskilling your existing staff. And actually, the bit I love best is you're bringing in imaginative and new ideas that maybe you haven't thought of.
Yeah, definitely. And the Futures team have done an absolutely amazing job. And they match the students with a placement that will suit them and suit their career path as well, which is just fantastic. And yeah, like you say, the more employers that sign up and are willing to take on placements, the better they can do that. So it's been really good, and it's looking even better for this year. So it's really exciting, and we've got loads of really good businesses lined up to take on placements.
East Norfolk Sixth Form are just so busy and doing such amazing things.
We are. Everyone is really busy, but it's busy in a good way. And, you know, I know that I'm really passionate about what I do, and I really enjoy my job. I think it's easy to work hard when you are really enjoying it and you're passionate about what you're doing, and we've got the students' best interests at heart as well, and we're doing it for them at the end of the day. So
I think passion is so transparent and it's so authentic, isn't it? So yeah. I can see it coming off you. So let's talk about the Eco Schools campaign. So you, amazingly with your 10 days, did all of the project and the application work.
Yeah.
And you achieved the Green Flag accreditation with a distinction.
Yeah, we did.
So could you just talk a bit about the Eco Schools for anyone listening that doesn't know?
Yeah, so it's an accreditation and primary, secondary, high schools and FE colleges and institutions can all do it and take part. And the idea is basically to raise awareness for sustainability in your provider amongst students, staff and parents alike, about getting that kind of interrelation between all of those different groups of people, and yeah, just raising the awareness and the profile of sustainability. As we all know, you know, it's becoming a much bigger phenomenon in recent years. Yeah, it's just getting that through to schools, and as you know, it's the main place of education, so we may as well utilise that platform to educate people on sustainability. People who were of older generations, they didn't have that education, and I think that just really highlights the importance of ensuring that we give that education out to young people, and they're going to be the people that are going to be making the difference as well at the end of the day. Yeah. So it is really crucial.
The point of the Eco Schools campaign is you're not just educating students in
exactly.
the school, or if you're a primary school, the younger kids.
Yeah.
It's the parents as well, and it's making it part of everyday life.
Exactly.
And
yeah, and that's all part of it, because you know it's hard to expect someone to, for example, not recycle at home and then come into school, and we're expecting everyone to recycle. We want it to get to the point where it's a habit, it's second nature to recycle and to separate your waste. And you know, small things like that, it all makes a big difference. And the Eco Schools campaign has a really good way of doing that and integrating that into everyday life and other people's lifestyles and families.
What are some of the things that they get you to do then, or what did you have to do?
First part of the process is basically doing some sort of review of your organisation to kind of identify all the things that you are doing sustainably and all the things that, you know, you're not doing quite so well. Off the back of that, you then create an action plan, choose 3 points, and it's all targeted around their 10 eco principles. So our 3 were waste, energy and healthy living, and we thought they fitted best into the college environment.
Yeah.
You know, were the best ones to tackle to start off with, and we've been really successful in doing that. And then the rest of the process is making sure that you implement the action plan and the points that you've put in, reviewing and monitoring the progress and making sure that it is going to be sustained as well, and it's not just a one-off thing. Yeah.
And then that's the good thing, isn't it? That, sorry to interrupt you.
Okay.
That's the good thing, that it's accredited again yearly, because it's easy to start these things.
Yes.
And then obviously pressures come in. Schools are already under
yeah.
pressure with energy bills.
Yeah.
To carry these things on.
Yeah, definitely. And then part of the programme as well is kind of outreach and showing how you're educating the local community and people wider than just your students at the school or college. And we're really lucky because, as you mentioned, my role as high schools coordinator, I'm already going out to high schools and we're doing outreach with them. And we also have a primary school champion, so she's already going out to primary school. So we already have those really good links. So we were in a really strong position to begin with. But it's just stressing the importance of sustainability in that, which is something that without the Eco Schools programme, we might not have thought of doing.
Well, it's good that schools are recognising that. And actually, education is the key word, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you get everybody young and just so it becomes a part of your life.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
What was the response from students and parents like?
Yeah, it was really good. So we've got over 1,600 students at the college, so it's a wide group of people and it's quite difficult to capture everyone. But, you know, research has shown as well that young people aged 16 to 19 are really passionate about sustainability, and actually eco-anxiety is a massive thing, and particularly amongst young people, because they are scared, because it's being drilled into them that, you know, if we don't stop driving our cars, we're all going to be underwater in 2 years' time, you know.
Yeah, I think there's so much noise and angry,
yeah,
an angry
definitely.
Space,
yeah.
But it's trying to cut through that and actually just having the facts.
Yeah,
the facts
exactly.
Are easy
and actually getting them involved in the programme helps reduce that anxiety, because they feel like they're making a difference. They feel like they're kind of making steps in the right direction. It's positive and it's really good, and it was really lovely to see how the students were really passionate and did really want to get involved in it. And like you say, it's all about navigating people towards the right resources, the right information, and showing them how they can make little steps in the right direction. You know, we can't expect everyone to get rid of their petrol and diesel cars overnight, and it's not possible for a lot of people, but making sure that they know how to make small changes and gradually build that up on a larger scale is really important.
Yeah. It's things just like biking to work, those schemes,
yeah.
Carpooling and sharing and as a group, I guess, and that
yeah.
encourages you, doesn't it?
Yeah,
makes you
definitely.
More...
There's definitely, I mean, at the college there's a really good sense of community anyway, but I do think the project enhanced that because we were all working together to achieve the same goal, and that was really, really nice.
So you want to make sustainability more of a priority for the school,
yeah.
Through completing the school's accreditation. That, as I just said, was yearly.
Yeah.
So that's an ongoing thing. Does somebody come out and test the school? Do they do a carbon tracker again? And
so obviously we submitted our application in July, and we had the feedback by end of August, start of September, I think it was. And it was really, really detailed feedback. And then, you know, you have the option whether to continue and reapply for the accreditation, or you can just leave it at the kind of one yearly subscription. But yeah, we haven't been individually inspected or monitored. I think, as you said, we got the accreditation with a distinction. So I think there was a lot of evidence there that it
You're
was
good.
Well integrated,
good, yeah.
and we weren't just kind of making it up as we
yeah.
went along, so yeah.
Was there a particular area that you excelled at within the other school, not you personally, well maybe you personally, but that the school excelled in with sustainability?
Yeah, I'd probably say the outreach. As I mentioned, we already have the really good networks, and as we were speaking about earlier, we have networks with the local community as well and local businesses. So it was nice to get everyone involved. And as I mentioned, there was a really strong sense of community around in the project. And yeah, it was just really nice to kind of get students and staff to interact a little bit more as well, beyond the day-to-day, you know, when your teacher hears your lesson kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
it's nice to have something to pull everybody together.
Yeah, definitely. And meet people that you didn't know existed, because, you know, I wasn't student-facing at the time, but it gave me the opportunity to interact with students. And off the back of that, I'm now, like, teaching a little session on a Thursday afternoon with my own group. And without the project, again, I wouldn't have had that face-to-face interaction with students and realised that I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and I think that's so important for the students, isn't it? To see that you're not, you know, there can be a, it's them and it's us, we're the students,
yeah.
but actually to open up that conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
Is so important.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of them probably didn't even know I existed before as well, because I was kind of more behind the scenes. But being involved in a project with them, you know,
I'm sure they think you are a student.
They probably do, yeah.
She's very bossy.
That's why I make sure I've got my staff lanyard on.
Just wear that.
Yeah.
What do you feel makes the school stand out so much?
I think it is just really that strong sense of community and togetherness. We are a really big organisation, and we are independent as well, so we're not affiliated with anyone else. So actually to build that sense of community just kind of with us and alone is just fantastic. And we've got the Futures team, and we've, you know, we've employed outreach staff, and I think it's just amazing that we are getting out there. We're really raising our profile amongst the community, with local businesses, with employers, and you know, that brings opportunities for us, but it also gives opportunities for them to have young people enter their workforce and learn about career paths that they might not have known even existed before.
Yes, and the placement at Vattenfall, I mean, that's a huge company to have a placement with, isn't
yeah.
it? And just having those big businesses to talk to the students and in I guess it's about inspiration, isn't it?
Yeah.
And inspiring them to try different careers.
Yeah, and I think there's a really nice element of the students take part in projects like this because they genuinely want to. We're not forcing it down their throat and saying, you need to do this. We inspire the young people and then they choose to be involved in programmes like this. And it's really, really lovely to see.
And hopefully you'll start seeing tea levels in more of those environmental sciences.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I really hope so. We are one of the only providers to offer environmental science as an A-level. And it's a fantastic course. Environmental sciences, our A-level environmental science has been going on for years, and still I think we are the only provider to offer it. So yeah, that's something we're really proud of as well.
Yeah, and I think living in Norfolk, where we're kind of known for the green energy in that sector.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got so much renewable energy potential in the area. It's going to be a massive career and industry. I mean, it is already, but it's only going to get bigger. So making sure that students know of those opportunities as well and utilising the potential that we have in the area is really important.
And I guess also being so in the midst of a business community, you'll see that in 10 years, 20 years, there'll be jobs that are out now that won't be around then. You're actually at the forefront, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Seeing it firsthand.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Thomas Panton, who's also on our cohort, has been to see your students and talk and inspire them. How did that day go?
That was brilliant. It was a Green Careers event organised by our Futures team. And it's all part of raising awareness for the opportunities and careers that are available in the green sector. And yeah, Thomas is such a genuine and authentic guy, and he's really, really passionate about the green industry and what he does. And it was great to have him come in, speak to the students on a really real and genuine level that they were able to engage with, hear about his experiences and how he's got to where he is today. And he, you know, he's very honest, and it's not all plain sailing, and there's been ups and downs and bumps in the road, but you know, we will all get to where we want to be one day. Then you have, you know, every potential of getting there and getting to that point. There are so many opportunities and even different routes to get into the same pathway, and making sure that they know that, you know, you might come across a few hurdles, but we can, you know, and it's learning about how to be resilient and how to overcome those obstacles and to get back on your way, really.
Resilience is the key word, that's it, being resilient, absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I just talk to you about Conex? So, you are very young and a wise head, I think, on your shoulders. One of the things I'm asking people about Conex, so it's our initiative to engage under 35, so... Okay. Not just young professionals, it's anybody within any business under 35. Was there anyone who inspired you and made you kind of see or think differently about yourself and your confidence?
I genuinely don't think there was anyone. I think I found my feet on my own. I've always been really passionate about education. Now, I worked really hard for my GCSEs, my A-levels. I'm doing my degree now. I think I've always been passionate about it, and I've always really enjoyed meeting other people, speaking to other people. And definitely I think this degree apprenticeship at the college has really opened my eyes to the opportunities that are out there, and I just think it's a brilliant opportunity to get that workplace experience. And I definitely think I've learned a lot on the job, which is one of the amazing things about the degree apprenticeship.
How does that fit in with your working 10 day a week?
So I'm entitled to 20% off the job, and it's up to you and your employer how you work that out. So it might be that you have kind of a week every couple of months, or it might be you have a day a week, or it might be you have an hour a day, and it really just depends on the demands of the business at the time and what I've got on at the time. I tend to fit it around my work life, my meetings, my events and things like that, but as long as you can be organised and manage your time effectively, it works really well.
That makes me tired just thinking about that calendar kind of shuffle. And is that still 3 years?
So it's a 4-year course, mine is, because it's spread out a little bit further because of the fact that it's work-based. So.
And are you in what year of that course?
So I'm in my third year.
Oh, so you're almost done.
Almost, yeah, we're getting there.
And I guess actually having those smaller groups when you talk to the students about the eco-schools, just showing another real way of getting
100%. And it's so good that these opportunities are out there now, because once upon a time, it was either you go and work full time or you go to university, and sometimes it's not accessible for a lot of people for whatever reason, and we're lucky to have better support with funding now and support with that as well. But you know, it's still not for everybody, and it's really great that there are other opportunities now. I think the introduction of T-level shows that, and the emphasis on work experience and work-based learning is really important, and you can go on to do an apprenticeship after college and you're not any less off than someone else who's got a degree.
Yeah, but I also think at 16, you don't know.
This popped up at a perfect time for me because I didn't know what I wanted to do, and it's a versatile degree, it's in business management, and I've had a lot of work experience on the job as well, and all of those things combined are helping me navigate what I do like, what I don't like so much, what I'm really passionate about, what my skills are, what I could improve on, and yeah, it's definitely in the 2-3 years that I've been doing it, I've developed so much as a person, I think. Kind of emphasis on being able to retrain as well, and masters and, you know, cross qualifications and things, and work-based learning options as well. You know, people in the college, like the assistant principal is just doing his masters at the moment as well, and it's so good that there are all these options for people to not be stuck down one route, and it's just again raising awareness of all the different options that are out there for everyone.
I think you need to share what coffee you guys are drinking over there. What one piece of advice would you give yourself about, I don't know, being a grown up?
Okay, I think I'd just say be true to yourself. And I think in every context, that's so important. You know, if something feels right at the time, do it. And if it doesn't, then there's probably a reason why it doesn't feel right. But also trust yourself, have confidence in yourself. I know even now, you know, I'm still daunted by all these massive business professionals who are so much older than me and have so much more experience than me. And it can be really overwhelming. But actually, you know, I've got the opportunity to prove myself and take advantage of that and do things that you're passionate about and that you enjoy, because you'll always work hard at something that you're passionate about and that you believe in.
I absolutely agree. And it's so interesting that you say, you know, you meet all these people from big businesses, and there is that element of an imposter syndrome sneaking in, but actually everybody is just a person.
Yeah, definitely.
And most of the time, I mean, the Norfolk business community, everyone's really, really nice.
These people were all in your position once as well. They were all at the start of their journey at some point in their life, you know, worse off than them because you're earlier in your career and your journey than they are. And you'll be in their position one day, and you'll have the opportunity to look back at people maybe perhaps younger or more inexperienced than yourself and think, you know, I want to mentor these people. I want to take them on and show them what they can do and what they're capable of. And I think it's just, tapping into that side of things and not being daunted by it, and just, you know, using it as an opportunity to prove yourself and show how much potential you've got. There's a lot of, you know, be kind to everyone, and you never know what someone's going through. And again, you might be looking at them thinking, wow, they're so successful, but they might be having a really hard time in their personal life or their professional life. And, you know, with swings and roundabouts, not everything's plain sailing. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're all people. We've all got emotions and feelings behind perhaps a facade that we put on. And it's nice that I think more of that is coming through into the business world. And we are more in touch with our emotions as well.
Izzy, I'm so excited to see where your career is going to go. You're just the loveliest person.
Thank you.
Obviously, from a Business Climate Leaders programme, we salute you, and it's inspirational. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
It's been wonderful.
It's been brilliant. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce podcast, connecting, supporting, and giving voice to every business in Norfolk.